thank you, Lord, that you are good. And even though this world looks like it's spinning out of control, Lord, everything you do is right. So, Lord, help us to have eyes of faith to believe, even without seeing your hand moving in our lives and the lives of everyone here, and even about in the lives of those who aren't here, who don't know you. We ask that you would just continue to illuminate our hearts, that we might know you more. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, this is Gary's fault. No, just kidding. We read a devotional Wednesday morning, and one of the devotions, I think it was Thursday, and it has nothing to do with the devotion, we're going to share it, but it had, like, it many times quotes a verse and then talks about the verse. So it had a part of the verse, dot, 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 and then the ending of the verse, and read it, and I'm like, what the heck is all this? So anyway, we're going to read it today, because I think sometimes when we go through the scriptures, sometimes something that doesn't sound right, or like kind of makes you go, what did that mean? Or just like stop and settle. The Lord wants to speak to your heart. You know, to take the time to really seek after him and not just bypass him and come back and just ask. So we're going to do that today because that's what the Lord did for me. So we'll just share. I think that's the whole point of our callings. That is to share what he shared with us. So I'm not going to read the whole big book today. We're just going to read chapter 2, 8 through verse 5 of chapter 3. So, and then we're going to talk about a few things. So, well, we'll get up to verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they might believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do all things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patience of Christ. Last week we spent a lot of time, or I spent a lot of time, looking at verse 4 about our confidence being in the Lord concerning you. And how we talked about that Paul came to a place that his confidence is not in the person that he's looking at. It's not even in himself. But if things are happening in his life or in your lives, it's because of God's faithfulness. I want to show you something. You know, a lot of times we pray and ask the Lord to increase our faith and things like that. Paul's writing a letter here that God answers and increases his faith in the midst of this letter within like 3 or 4 verses. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2, well, 16 and 17. He says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Verse 3 of chapter 3, what does it say? "But God is faithful, who will establish you." You see, the Lord moved in Paul's heart to, even in the midst of a prayer, that he also can meet him with faith. To say, "You know what, I'm praying the Lord does this, but you know what, I know God's faithful to do it." It's just interesting. You see faith increase even in writing. He's being led by the Spirit. "I'm going to pray for somebody, but I know God's faithful to come alongside and make it happen." God's faithful. So that was just one little thing here I wanted to point out. But keep, as we were talking last week, for all of us, is we cannot put undue expectations on one another. And we need to bring our eyes back on the Lord for each of us to walk in the completeness that God's working in our lives. I can't fix myself. I can trust Him that He's fixed me. Right? So when you look at me and say, "Well, He can't do nothing for Himself. I got to pray to God, and I'm confident He's going to do it." Right? Same with everyone. Same with unbelievers. Same with rebellious believers. Same with everyone. It's God's got to work in them to willing to do for His good pleasure. Yes, we have to agree and allow Him to do His work, but it's not going to happen until He's moving. And I have to put my confidence in Him to do the work. If I do it, the foundation's going to fall. If He does it, it'll stand forever. And He's faithful, and He's going to continue to complete the work He started in each of us. Because He's faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So, turn with me. I want to show you something with Paul's conversion. So if you want to turn with me to Acts 26. It's actually funny, as we read Paul's testimony to King. This isn't when it actually happened. This is him giving the testimony of his conversion, of what took place. So he's talking to King Agrippa. But you're going to see a lot of the things the Lord showed Paul here in Acts 26 are really answers, and the answer to Thessalonians 2, to meet people in their need. You'll see what I mean when we get there. Acts 26, sometimes 26 is after 6. I'll just read verse 14. Or I'll read verse 12. "While thus occupied as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests." Anybody remember what that authority and commission was?
Arrest and kill.
Arrest and kill the church. Believers in Christ. "At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." This is what Jesus said he's going to do and how he's going to use Paul, right? If you have your finger in Thessalonians, keep it. We're going to be flipping back and forth. I'm going to read verse 18 again. "Look what God's sending Paul to do. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Now let's turn to Thessalonians 2. And we're going to read verses 9 to 12 and see if this is not the answer to the lost. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who will perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And with all unrighteous, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they might be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Why was Paul sent? To open the eyes. To bring light. To take from the power of Satan and move them into the power of God, if they will receive and be saved. You see, the answer to a fallen world, the Lord has left behind his body with the same message that he gave Paul. And it's very important, I think, for us to look at these things. Because I want to look at chapter 3, verse 3, because this is something we have to ask ourselves and see what's really going on. He says, "The Lord's faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil." Okay? Back here he said to Paul, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom now I send you." Did God do it? Can anybody tell me how Paul died? He was beheaded. He lost his head over the gospel. So now, let me ask the question. Did God deliver him? Was God faithful to his word? Because we have death all around us and God promises eternal life. And so these same questions have to be answered so that it will build up our faith in trying times rather than tear down our faith. Remember the Thessalonians, people were getting killed. There were other people after Paul coming and doing the same thing for their testimony, for believing in Jesus. Sometimes God does not deliver the physical body. But yet he still delivers us from the evil one. It's not easy to take, but it's true. 2 Timothy tells us that all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so I think when I read this, it stood out. It's like, I think a lot of times we doubt God. Sorry, I'm talking for myself, that we come to a place like, I see this happen. Lord, where are you? And you see, this is the time when, like Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who will believe without seeing, than those who see." There are times in our life that faith is believing without seeing. And so when we see these things ripped out of our lives and friends and family and loved ones and just accidents and different things, is God faithful?
it's important for us to come back to what we know who He is. And that He promises these things so that when they take place, it doesn't tear us down, but it just builds us up. Now, it's never going to be fun to lose a loved one. Or, well, I guess however close, right? I don't know anybody saying, well, that's great. Other than I say, lucky them. They beat me. They beat me home. Right? And so the Lord puts in Paul's life a place, and He speaks to him. And I think even earlier when I didn't look this up, but He actually promised him all the things he would have to suffer for His name. And he still went and said, yes, Lord. And these are places in our lives that we have to come, and it's not us, it's the Lord working in us to build up our faith so that we can trust Him. And so when we see these little things happening, and they're not little, but trials and tribulations, we can learn of God's faithfulness so that as we enter into the next phase, that your faith can increase in Him, not in our own faith. That I learn to trust Him more. The Thessalonians were moved, we were told in 1 Thessalonians, and I keep going back to this because I really want to understand, or I really want to be able to believe like this. To be able to receive the word which you heard, that it's not the word of men, but it is in truth the word of God. That as I open up this word, that I really understand that this is God speaking and He's directing and leading me and you all the time. And not go over it and just say, yeah, that's not for me. Yeah, that's for Kent or someone else. But I think it's interesting that this is where He wants us. He's placed us here today in this world, in the condition that it's in the darkness, to be a light. Not the light, but to bear witness of the light. Right? Listen to what, if you're in Acts still, listen to what Jesus says to Paul, because it's important, because there's a lot of things He says about Himself. First off, Paul was very religious and dogmatic. So as a religious person, he was going out to persecute the bride. Because they didn't agree with him. I think we need to be very careful, and we're going to talk about that more next week when we get into the patience of Christ in the end of the chapter. You can actually pray about it and read it and just kind of get an idea. But Paul thought he was right when he went out to lock people up. And so God can meet people when they're religious. Remember how I said God's faithful to complete the work? Paul learned in God's faith, God's ability to complete that work, that He's the one that you have to trust, because He's the one that said, I'm going to do it. And so Jesus says to Paul, I am Jesus. Because Paul said, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Whom you are persecuting. So when Paul was throwing mom and dad in prison, mom and dad, Jesus looked at it as Himself being persecuted. So just keep that in mind before you go to throw someone in prison. Part of the body. When you're coming against the body because they're not living up to the way you think they should. Religious people, we're going to be the first people to go after those who are in love with Jesus. They're not going to like your freedom. They're not going to like your faith. Jesus isn't enough. But if you do this and my list, you'll be all right. And that's not where it is. So just be careful that when you come against the bride and you're coming against Christ, Jesus takes it personal. Jesus says, rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. Each one of us, the Lord has revealed Himself to, and He can say, arise and stand on your feet for this purpose. Whatever that is that He's revealed Himself about. And what is that to do? As He's revealed Himself to you, what does He do? What does it do? To make you a minister and a witness. Why does the Lord reveal Himself to you? To make you a minister and to be a witness. Of what? The things you've seen. There's no pressure. It's not. If the Lord's revealed Himself to you in a small, special way, it's His desire is for you to bear witness of it. It's not just for you. And not only that, of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Which the cool thing is that means He's not going to stop revealing Himself to you. He's always going to give you something to talk about. If you're seeking Him, and well, actually Paul wasn't even seeking Him. Paul wanted Christ dead. And the Lord loved him. That's the patience of Christ. The ones who want to kill Jesus, that He's willing to come and save and reveal Himself to. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom now I send you. I guess I didn't really finish all that about the delivering. And you guys get the difference, right? This here isn't going to be our heavenly bodies. So they can be used and dealt with however the Lord sees fit. And then one day, when He's ready, He's going to call us together and bring us and give us our new heavenly bodies. But in the midst of there, you don't die. You've already died, and your life is hidden in Christ. So sometimes the Lord delivers us too. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You don't have to turn there. I want to read their comments to Nebuchadnezzar. Sorry, I didn't finish that part. In verse 17, after he said, are you going to bow? And they said, listen to what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you this in this matter. Which was, will you bow down and worship me? And they're like, we don't even need to answer you. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O King. See the delineation? Fire furnace is one battle. The king's the other. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Now, in this instance, God saved them from both. Either way. The fire didn't harm them. And Nebuchadnezzar had nothing he could do. Correct? Ultimately, Paul did lose his head. But God still delivered him from the evil. You see, the physical and the spiritual are two different things. Physically, you they slay me, yet I will praise Him. Right? To come to a place in our lives that says the physical doesn't matter. Take my life is yours. And I know that no matter what happens here, you will be faithful to bring me to yourself. You see, there's that physical fear we have sometimes. and there's a spiritual fear. But they understood that whether they died in the fire, they still weren't going to bow, but they still understood if they died in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't touch them because they're already with him. Right? But if he doesn't, he still can't touch them. But the Lord used that to bring him, to start bringing him to himself. Their testimony, them sharing and standing to bring him, that we see later after he got humbled and became an animal, right? So I just want to point, just bring that out, that as we walk through, we see these things happen, but God's faithful, he understands. But this is sometimes, look, Jesus laid down his life for the world to be saved. And sometimes our physical needs to die. Sometimes the physical needs to die so the spirit can have freedom to live. Any thoughts or questions or about that part?
At the end of Romans 8 is a good reference also. He is convinced that there needs nothing
except death,
life. And the other thing, I think the point is well made, that when we come into relationship with Christ, we are delivered from the world. We're delivered from all of it. Because now it's not the perspective of the world that drives us or controls us or anything. We're delivered from it. That's why
we need to remind her.
Yeah, that's why maybe some people in the world think that we're so heavenly minded we're going to be perfectly good or whatever that whole nonsense is. But the point is where, if you think about Paul, he's walking into an area where, he was certainly subject to the Jews and what they thought, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and all this, and the Lord would say, I'm going to deliver you from that. It's kind of like, I'm going to deliver you from that way of thinking. I'm going to deliver you from the dominance of them in your mind. And as well, and as you see, ultimately, was he delivered from body, bodily? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think I need that reminder sometimes. When you see everything going on around you, he's still faithful. And it's promised sometimes, and it's something actually like, oh wow, he just took them.
If he's not delivering us for worldly success, so if that's the goal, then I think the person's going to be disappointed. Because that's not the delivery he's talking about.
Yep, earthly success means earthly trials and tribulations to maintain and keep and think about all the time. No one wants to. So it just really stood out to me, that part of it. Yeah.
I think that also in chapter 26, where the word sanctified is used at the end of verse 18, faith finished.
Set apart by faith.
Finished.
Right.
So, like Gary's saying, you're delivered when you enter into Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, scripturally, the Bible says you're dead and your life is hidden in Christ. So when I become born again, the old man dies. Right? We all understand that. But sometimes when we have to enter into it, it's not fun. Loving someone's costly. Right? Jesus says for anyone to be my disciple, he has to deny himself and come after me. That's true in all relationships. I don't think many would have liked it if I had just kept dating other women and still saw her and we got married and everything. And there's a setting apart of things so I can set myself apart unto things. And so the Lord wants to draw me in that way, and each of us to single us down and remind us why we're here. I think for me, it's hard to not try to build my own kingdom. And I don't mean a church kingdom. I just mean my own life to be live in a place where I'm comfortable and everything's okay and everything's, bills are paid, food, and all these things. But it's not the call that the Lord has for us. Yes, he can meet us there. But many times a comfortable frog in a hot pot gets boiled and dies and doesn't live. And I think it happens to us, and in this country, it does happen. But things are not as bad as in other places. And we don't see as much stuff, and we're sheltered. So, anyway. But I like what God tells Paul. He said, Jesus said, I'm Jesus. I. He's just revealing to him. And when I read the Word, I believe the Word wants to become life. And so as I read this, Paul says that he's an example for us, right? Yes, no? Is Paul an example?
Sure.
So what does he say?
He's a pattern.
A pattern, a picture. Well, so are these words, what God said to him, I believe are said to each of us. Because when I open up the Word, it's speaking to me. Right? So I'm taking this as, just as God's speaking to Paul, he's speaking to me, because if I believe it's not from the word of men, but from God, then he can mix with faith and move in my life. The freedom, so that I can see him and know him more. So what does he say? I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. Well, that, he could talk to me sometimes, because I'm coming against his bride occasionally. Even when I come against myself, I'm coming against the bride. So this is what I feel like the Lord has for us as the body. Rise and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose. To make you a minister and a witness. Now, the aspect of how that works out in your life is going to be different. Right? We have many examples and aspects of testimonies. Some good, some bad. But, you know, different impacts. You have Peter. Everybody knows all the impact that Bartholomew had, right? We don't. But they were still... had the same thing. I've appeared to you. That's what it takes to become a minister and a witness, is to receive a witness, which is a revelation from the Lord through His Word, through His, your eyes illuminating. When in John 3 it says that the light came into the world and darkness did not comprehend it. I just look at that as there's so much darkness within our lives that we don't comprehend the light that's within us most of the time. Our desire is for Him to fan the flame so it gets brighter, but sometimes we don't see what the Lord's doing and don't understand completely, and there's darkness. And so I think it's good to stop and seek Him at those times. But He's appeared to you for a purpose. First off, the purpose of God revealing Himself to you is so that you know Him. We all know that, right? It begins with knowing Him, seeing Him. I can only testify of something that I've seen, or bear witness of something that I've seen or walked in. Otherwise, it's hearsay, right? And you wouldn't be allowed in a court with hearsay. So He appears to you for a purpose, to make you a minister. It's not slave. And a witness. They're hand in hand. Both of the things which you have seen and the things which I have yet to reveal to you. I love the fact that I want you to share what I've shown you. And by the way, I'm going to keep revealing myself to you so you have something to share. Right? You can only share what's been revealed. But as you go and I continue to reveal, keep sharing it. And I will deliver you. And now I send you. If you just circle all the I's here and here where God, where the Lord Jesus is speaking to Paul, I am, I have, I will, I now send you. What is He sending them to do? To open the eyes of the blind? Oh, I'm sorry. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness into light. You see, you can only give somebody the light you have. Ultimately, as the Holy Spirit comes and convicts, they have to humble themselves and receive the gift that you offer, just like you did. But it doesn't always happen. And everything that is going to take place at end times is happening now. The darkness, the sway of the wicked, when people walking under the power of Satan. And he opens our eyes so that we can be a testimony and a voice to pull people away and to open their eyes. To receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in the Lord, in me. You see, the Lord, what did he say? He saves us by sanctifying us in Thessalonians. It's the same thing here, but he chooses to use us. He wants to use us as we go. Does that mean he wants you to go and run into the whole, go across the country? Maybe. It's going to be costly as you walk with him. Does that mean as you share with your spouse, your family? Yeah. It's as he reveals and as you go. He's revealing himself to you so that you can know him and that you can make him there. And that we can trust him that he's faithful, even if he takes our lives, physical lives. Our physical lives are taken. We can trust him. And I feel that this is the answer to the dark world, is if we would be faithful. The Lord would increase our faith that we would believe in more, that what he's shown us is what he wants us to share. Even if it's a little thing. Any questions? Thoughts? So if the Lord showed you anything today, guess what? It's for you to share. If he hadn't, then I guess I'd better seek it more. Anyway. Anybody have anything else? Nope. Quiet crowd. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that in our own lives we know that we are not the light. But we just come to receive that light, Lord. Help us to be receivers of the gift that you have for us each day, and that is access to your presence. Lord, help us to open up our hearts, Lord, that we can just settle ourselves before you just to see the light. And even if it's just to remind ourselves of how much you love us. We thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your constant patience with us. We just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.